and if I'm not there to do so, the weak, the defenseless, and the peaceful will eventually be overrun, and the rest will be drawn into a war until all but the strongest are crushed." Richard sank back to contemplate this with a slight frown on his face. She watched the firelight play on his features. She could feel what he was thinking about. He was remembering the way she had, with only a gesture of her hand, demanded that Queen Melina fall to her knees, kiss the Mother Confessor's hand, and swear loyalty. She wished she hadn't had to show him the power she wielded and how much she was feared, but what she had done had been necessary. Some deferred only to power. When necessary, a leader had to show that power or be cut down. When he looked up at last, his face held a serious cast.
"There's going to be trouble. The wizards are all dead. They killed themselves before they sent you looking for Zed. The threat backing the Mother Confessor is gone. The other confessors are all dead, killed by Dark and Rawl. You are the last. You have no allies. There is no one to take your place if anything happens to you. Zed told us to meet him in Adendrill. He must know this too. From what I have seen of powerful people, from counselors in my homeland, even my own brother, to queens here, to Dark and Rawl, they will view you as a lone obstacle in their way. If the Midlands is to be kept from being torn apart, the Mother Confessor must rule, and you are going to need help. You and I both must serve the truth. I'm going to help you." A sly smile parted his lips. If those counselors were afraid to plot against the Mother Confessor or give her trouble because of the wizards, wait until they meet the Seeker. Kaelin touched her fingers to his face.
"You are a rare person, Richard Cipher. You are with the most powerful person in the Midlands, yet you make me feel as if I am riding your coattails to greatness."
"I'm nothing more than the one who loves you with all my heart. That is the only greatness I wish to live up to."
Richard sighed.
"It seemed a lot simpler when it was just you and me all by ourselves in the woods, and I cooked you dinner on a stick over an open fire."
He gave her a sidelong glance.
"You are still going to let me cook you dinner, aren't you, Mother Confessor?"
"I don't think Mistress Sanderholt would like that. She doesn't like anyone in her kitchens."
"You have a cook?"
"Well, I've never seen her cook anything, come to think of it. Mostly she just whisks all about, ruling her domain with a wooden spoon she wields like a scepter, tasting food and scolding cooks, assistants, and scullions. She is the head cook. She frets something awful when I come down to the kitchens to cook. Mistress Sanderholt begs me to take up another interest. She says I scare her people. She says they shake for the rest of the day whenever I come to the kitchens and ask for pots. So I try not to do it too often. But I do so like to cook."
Kaelin smiled at the memory of Mistress Sanderholt. It was long months since she had been home.
"Cooks," Richard muttered to himself. "I've never had anyone cook for me. I always cook for myself."
His smile returned.
"Well, I guess this Mistress Sanderholt will be able to make a little room for me if I want to cook you something special."
"I would wager that you will soon have her doing whatever it is you wish."
He squeezed her hand. "Will you promise me one thing? Promise me that one day you will let me take you back to Westland and show you some of the beautiful places in the Heartland Woods, places that only I know of? I've dreamed of taking you to them."
"I would like that," Kaelin whispered.
Richard leaned forward to kiss her. Before his lips touched hers, before his arms could embrace her, he winced in pain. His head sagged forward against her shoulder as he moaned. Kaelin clasped him to her in fear, then laid him back down as he clamped his arms to his head, unable to breathe. Panic gripped her. He pulled his knees up to his chest as he rolled onto his side. She braced her hand on his shoulder as she leaned over him.
"I'm going to get Nissel. I'll go fast as I can."
He could only nod as he shook. Kaelin ran to the door, pushing it open out into the still night. She could see her ragged breaths in the frigid air as she pushed the door closed. Her eyes flickered over the short wall. Moonlight washed the top of it with a silver cast. The chickens were gone. A dark shape hunched, still behind the wall. It moved a little in the moonlight, and there was a quick flash of shiny, golden eyes. Chapter 7. The dark thing rose up, claws rasping over the top of the short wall. It laughed a low cackle that sent goosebumps up her arms to the base of her neck. Kaelin froze, breath caught in her throat. The form was a black void in the pale moonlight. After the brief flash, the eyes had vanished into a pool of night. Her mind raced, trying to fit what she knew with what she was seeing. She wanted to run, but didn't know which way, toward Richard or away. Though she couldn't see the eyes, she could feel them, like cold death. The tiniest of sounds rose from her throat. With a howling laugh, the dark shape leaped to the top of the wall. The heavy door crashed open behind her, banging against the wall of the spirit house. At the same time, she heard the distinctive ring of the Sword of Truth being drawn in anger. The black head snapped toward Richard, the eyes flashing golden again in the moonlight. Richard reached out, snatching her by the arm, and tossed her back through the doorway. As the door rebounded from hitting the wall, he kicked it shut behind himself. From beyond the door, Kaelin heard a howling laugh, and then there was a crash against the door. She came to her feet, pulling her knife. Through the door, she could hear the sword tip whistle and bodies thudding against the wall of the spirit house. She could hear the screaming howls of laughter. Kaelin threw her shoulder against the door and rolled out into the night. As she sprang to her feet, she saw a small, dark form hurtling toward her. She slashed with her knife and missed. It came again, but before it was on her, Richard kicked it, slamming it back against the short wall. In the moonlight, the Sword of Truth flashed toward the shadow. The blade caught only the wall. A shower of mud brick fragments and plaster exploded into the air. The thing howled in laughter. Richard snatched her back just as the dark shape flew past. She caught it with her blade, ripping through something hard. Bone hard. A claw flashed past her face, the sword following, missing. She could hear Richard panting as he searched the darkness. The shadow came out of nowhere and knocked him to the ground. Dark forms tumbled across the dirt. She couldn't tell which was Richard and which was the attacker. Claws flung dirt into the air as it flailed at him. With a grunt, Richard heaved it over the wall. Instantly, it sprang to the top and stood there, eyes flashing golden in the moonlight, cackling that awful laugh as the two of them backed away. It fell silent as it watched them, walking backward. The air was suddenly alive with the zip of arrows. Within the space of a heartbeat, a dozen thudded into the black body. Not one missed. A breath later, an equal number followed. The thing panted in laughter. It stood on the wall, looking like a black pincushion. Kaelin's jaw dropped as she saw it snap off a handful of arrows that stuck out of its chest. The thing snarled a cackling laugh at them, then blinked as it watched them backing away. She couldn't understand why it just stood there. Another flight of arrows thudded into the black body. It paid no attention but dropped from the wall to the ground. A dark figure ran forward, spear in hand. From the shadow of the wall, the thing sprang at the runner. The hunter let the spear fly. With impossible speed, the black form ducked to the side and with its teeth snatched the spear from the air. Laughing, it bit the shaft in half. The hunter who had thrown it backed away, and the thing seemed to lose interest, turning to again watch her and Richard.
"What in the world is it doing?" Richard whispered. "Why did it stop? Why is it just watching us?"
With a cold shock, she knew.
"It's a screeling,"
Kaelin whispered, more to herself than to him.
"Oh, dear spirits, protect us. It's a screeling."
She and Richard were clutching each other's shirt sleeves as they walked backward, watching the screeling.
"Get away!"
she yelled at the hunters.
"Walk! Don't run!"
They answered with another useless flight of arrows.
"This way," Richard said, "between the buildings where it's dark."
"Richard, that thing can see better in the dark than we can see in the light. It's from the underworld."
He kept his eyes on the screeling standing in the open, in the moonlight.
"I'm listening. What else can we do?"
She shook her head.
"I don't know, but don't run and don't stand still. That attracts its attention. I think the only way to kill it may be to hack it apart."
He looked over to her, his eyes angry in the moonlight.
"What do you think I've been trying to do?"
Kaelin looked around at the small passageway they were entering.
"Maybe we should go through here after all. Maybe it will stay there and we can get away. If not, at least we can lead it away from the others."
The screeling watched them backing away and then started loping after them, panting a wicked laugh.
"Nothing is ever easy," Richard muttered.
They backed through the narrow passageway of smooth, plastered walls, the screeling following. Kaelin could see the dark knot of hunters following it in, could feel the pounding of her heart.
"I wanted you to stay in the spirit house. Why didn't you stay there where you were safe?"
She recognized the tone of rage from the sword's magic. Her hand holding his shirt sleeve felt wet and warm. She looked over and saw blood running down his arm, over her hand.
"Because I love you, you big ox, and don't you dare do anything like that again."
"If we get out of this alive, I'm going to put you over my knee."
They kept backing down the twisting passageway. "If we get out of this alive, I will let you. What happened to your headache?" Richard shook his head.
"I don't know. One second I could hardly breathe, and the next it was gone. As soon as it was gone, I could feel that thing on the other side of the door, and I heard it make that awful laugh."
"Maybe you just thought you could sense it because you heard it."
"I don't know. That could be, but it was the strangest feeling."
She pulled him by his shirt sleeve down a side passage. It was darker. Moonlight fell high up on a wall to their left. With a start, she saw the dark shape of the Skreeling skittering across the moonlit wall like some huge black bug. Kaylin had to force herself to draw a breath.
"How can it do that?" Richard whispered.
She had no answer. Behind them, torches appeared. Hunters were closing in around them, trying to bottle up the attacker. Richard looked around.
"If these people try to get this thing, it's going to kill the lot of them."
They stepped into a moonlit intersection of passageways.
"Kaylin, I can't let that happen."
He looked to his right, down toward a group of hunters coming with torches.
"Go to those men, get behind them."
"Richard, I'm not leaving,"
he shoved her.
"Do as I say, now."
His tone made her jump. Involuntarily, she backed away. Richard stood still in the moonlight, holding the sword in both hands, the tip resting on the ground. He looked up at the Skreeling hanging on the wall. It howled a laugh as if suddenly recognizing the figure standing before it. The Skreeling let go with its claws, dropping straight down, landing in the darkness with a thud. Kaylin could see the angry set of Richard's jaw as he watched the blur racing toward him, kicking up a cloud of dust. The sword's tip stayed on the ground.
"This can't be happening," she thought. "It just can't."